we're taking a little detour to talk about peace. The verse that is verse 18 of Romans 12, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Excuse me. So, I want to try to show that peace we've talked a lot about how that the only purpose of time and space is to see if anything can take you off the mercy seat. We are seated with him on the mercy seat. Always better translated, we are seated in him on the mercy seat. And the hallmark of that position, as we saw yesterday, was peace. And so really the only thing that's going on, the purpose of time and space in terms of something that we can have a sensory perception of internally, is if there is anything in the universe that can take you away from peace. And if you remember, I've talked about it several times, but when we first started as a group or as a body, my prayer was, to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, in order to understand what chastisement is simply seeing if there's something that can take you off the mercy seat. And the reason for this is so that you're fully sanctified, so that there can be true oneness and communion with God. And everything else is just an expansion on the tail. But this is the purpose of the gospel. This is the purpose of time and space. This is the purpose of life. To find out if there's anything that can take you off that place of peace. Now, and we don't have to enumerate them. I could... we've talked before about how when you're... where you got peace throughout your whole life, and you'll find out that you slowly moved discarding the things that you thought gave you peace. And that's just the continual. Everybody says they want peace of mind, but they don't want the affliction that comes to test to see whether you have peace of mind. So does everybody agree, understand this is the sort of the template? This is the arena in which the battle is being fought. Just find out if there's anything that can take you off the mercy seat, take you away from peace. Because peace is the evidence of Messiah. It's the way you know that you know.
That's funny what you just said, that. What will you sell him out for? What little opinion? What little thing?
It's typified in Jacob and Esau. Esau sold out for a little bowl of porridge or whatever you want to call it. All right, so let's go to... We're gonna go traveling this morning. So first we go to Haggai.
Let me just confess personally. HOV lanes piss me off. And what you just said made me realize I would sell out peace for an opinion about HOV lanes.
You'll do it about opinion about sports or opinion about politics or whether or not your kids do what you want them to. I mean, anything.
She went to see RuPaul. John's at the house.
For a wheelchair.
Do we have one?
No, she's looking for Seth's wheelchair.
Oh, Seth's wheelchair.
Which is probably upstairs in this room.
All right. All right. Haggai. Or Haggai.
We've got
it.
Fourth page.
Can I tell me for you?
Your life. What's the proper abbreviation?
Hag. Chapter 2. Everybody there? No? Everybody's still looking up in the... Everybody there now? Dana, are you going there or are you just looking?
No.
Okay.
I couldn't find it. It wasn't in the table of contents. I couldn't find it. Okay, go ahead.
Probably is, actually.
Chapter 2, verse 6. Now, Haggai is the prophet that is associated with Ezra and Nehemiah. They came back, remember, they came back to build the temple. And so anyway, they're in the process of building another temple when he's talking.
I can hear him building.
What?
So I can hear him building.
Yeah. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet... Once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, there was no house there. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, if you'll notice, it says the glory of this, it says the glory of this latter house. And what it, in Hebrew, it's a definite article. It's the glory of the latter house. And the latter house that he's talking about, the latter temple, is Jesus Christ. And now it's Christ in you, so now you have become the latter house. And in him, in Christ, this is the only place will I give peace, saith the Lord. So it's only on this mercy seat, only... And so everything about Scripture, everything about peace, everything about everything... is this location of sphere. You cannot be on the mercy seat and give breath to anything in the universe except the mercy seat, except Christ, except the Father. So that's what it means when it says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The only place that is possible is on the mercy seat. Because that is the first source. That is he who will occupy all your thoughts. Every place else, all these little books people write about how to do that, how to love the Lord, they're just goofy. They're just putting on this Babylonian garment again. Because it's positional. And the only way you get to that position is abject repentance. And it's not a repentance, by definition then, repentance is continuous. You stay in that place. You can't leave. And repentance has its major component, emptying. So it takes care of all opinions, all, everything. All right. Let's go to Psalm. No, let's go to Numbers, but we're going to go back to Numbers in a minute. Number 16.
Numbers 1-6.
16. No, I'm sorry. It's number 6.
No problem. Don't you worry about that.
Verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise shall you bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon all the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, the only thing of that that you can have a internally knowledge of is peace. You can't see his face shining, but you can perceive and know whether or not you're in peace. Now, this is where this integrity comes in, because you've got to stop acting like you're in, because otherwise you're acting, pretty soon you'll have these familiar paths of neurons so that you never know peace because you're always acting like you have it. And it just gets crazy. Remember, we've talked about this, you know, with Harry. He spent so many years smoking pot that the neurons, the nerve paths, all you end up going back to this place of false thing, a false whatever, false feeling of euphoria or whatever it is, almost automatically. But you're not really there, and then you get mad because you're not there. And so you've got to see this cannot be faked. You can't do it. You got to be it instead of doing it. And that's why the people that have, I'm not picking anybody here, but people that have been good copers their whole lives, this is incredibly difficult for them, because their whole mental process is one of coping with whatever. I can take it, or I can do it. Well, but the fact is, they're not doing it, but they don't even know they're not doing it. Does that communicate to anybody, Gary?
You're an angel of light even to your own self.
Yeah, you've totally...
And think you've arrived, or think you've achieved whatever that means.
The best part is when you say, I can take care of it, and you go, because God told me I could take care of it.
All right. Let's go to Psalm 122. Now, none of this makes any sense if you still think that Jesus is coming back to earth, and you know he's coming back here, and he's going to set up his kingdom on earth and all that crap. Jesus is here. When he meets us in the clouds, it's over. But you see, again, this dispensational theology creates it gives room for time.
For procrastination, for hypocrisy.
And so therefore it creates this, it just creates every kind of bad theology there is. All right, 122. Well, this is one we sing about. Jerusalem, I was glad when they said unto me, and don't start singing, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy gates. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because the house of the Lord our God because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. So we have all these guys running around, oh, we're praying for that piece of land over there. What this says is you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, that you would experience the peace that the New Jerusalem has always, never stops. You're not praying for this Israel to attack Iran so it can be safe or some other... What do you need?
I need to get the green van, get the wheelchair.
Green van. Pete will get it.
He's on. Just bring it back in.
Does everybody understand that? What it means when we sing that song, pray for the peace of Jerusalem? What, Gary?
I'm just thinking about what you said, see if I understand it.
All right. Let's go to let's go to Psalm 29. Go back a minute. Verse 9. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. The Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, what is peace? It's obviously the absence of againstness. But it's much more. And we started to talk about it yesterday. That peace is, it's not universal. It's not something that we will ever see in terms of, as long as there are human beings, we'll never see peace by our senses. But because for his people, the peace of his people is the eye of the storm, as we talked about. And it's perfect peace. It's the low pressure because there's total emptying. And because of that low pressure in you, in his people, again, that's how the disciples turned the world upside down. It wasn't because they ran around in jets and television shows. They individually emptied themselves totally. And that created the storm around them. And so the peace that is within you as his people is not peace to anybody else. In fact, they probably wish you'd never been around them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
We're savior of death to death and peace.
Okay. Now go to Isaiah. Let's start in Isaiah 9.
I'm understanding here why most of this has to be spoken in parables. It's like your mind can't rocket straight up. It has to be in a way where you're not interpreting or analyzing. Or
it can only be understood in emptiness. Well, let's go to the last verse of chapter 8. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Now who's the they? The they is the world. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as it was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now then, you can read the rest of it at your own time, but go down to verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. There's nothing in for you to perform. You're left out of the picture. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform us. And unto us this child is born. Now the government is no longer on your shoulders, your head. The government is on his shoulders, and therefore you must empty this thing in order that his government is manifest. Now, in the peace there shall be no end. Now this has happened. This isn't going to happen. So if you're not at peace, if you have something against somebody, if there's somebody that you haven't forgiven, these things that happen when people say, well, it just came over me. I couldn't help it. It's like they're a victim of themselves. That's all that reveals is a molten image in you that has to be repented of. And so the whole mystery of this I'm picking on Gary, but I'm not, it's for others' benefit. This is the reason it's been so difficult for Gary to get to this place with no time, because he has ability to take it, to cope. And it's why it's so difficult for Harry, because he's got 50 jillion molten images and he explodes all the time. So this is the two ends of the, whatever they are. But it's the airy guys, as I call them. But it's illustrative, because each one of us have ability to cope in some area, and each one of us, there are certain triggers that can whap you. And so the point of it is, Harry is luckier than Gary is, because if he can finally understand what repentance means, because it's like, you know, and that, let's go to, I'm going to show you something in Isaiah 28 real quick.
Oh, you got
what? Isaiah 28. Verse 26. For as God doth instruct him to discretion, and doth teach him, for the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Breadcorn is bruised, because he will not ever thresh it, but nor break it with the wheel of his cart. In other words, there's a threshing instrument that's appropriate for each one of us. Sometimes you got to be rolled over with a cartwheel. Sometimes you just got to be sort of... You got it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Isaiah 26. Is that what I just said?
Yeah. No, 28.
No, go to Isaiah 26. Verse 9. This would be a good one to stop on. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. But let favor be shown to the wicked, or the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they won't even see it. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all, or has even made all their memory to perish. Now, all of these other lords that have had dominion over you, there are an infinite number of them. And it's there like we were talking about Sunday night. Just neglect them and they'll go away. They just fall off like dead leaves. And even the memory of them will perish. That's why it's a shame to speak of those things. It's not talking about some whatever. It's talking about these things that, because even the memory of them will be made to perish. All your little trips and value systems and ideas and opinions, those are all the lords that have lorded over you. Now he's made even the, if you don't keep visiting him, giving him breath, he'll make even the memory of them to perish. But thou wilt ordain peace, and in the verb tense, it doesn't mean that it's going to be peace sometimes. And then something will happen and you're not at peace. But I was at peace yesterday. No, it's continuum. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to stay in the peace a little longer. Any response to any of this?
Touch your neighbor.
Just the thought that the peace that the world gives is, what's the quality of it? It's unattainable. It's what?
It's a piece of shit.
Well, that's what he said. My peace I live with you, not as the world giveth. It's not the peace of anything.
The world's peace is down the road, or it hasn't happened yet.
Or we're striving to get it.
AKA non-existence.
It's conditional on your behavior.
It's
what else has to happen.
Anybody else?
Or it could be just a simple case, may the peace of the Lord be with you and with thy spirit.
But it always is, if you're on the mercy seat.
No conditions.
That's the only place it is. You can pray for somebody else's peace, that's fine. But the peace of the Lord exists only on the mercy seat. You can have a taste of it, a down payment periodically. Mm. But that'll go if circumstances change.
Because we're taken off mercy seat, brought back into time and space.
So again, let's find out, is there anything that can cause you to leave that peace? Amen? Take a big gun.